I'm Marilyn Ray Beyer. Help me welcome into the studio Mr. John Stewart. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Hey, you got the guitar out? Ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, let's have a song. John Stewart.
I'm going to do a song from the new album that I believe is one you've been playing, so good chance to compare. If I never go east of Denver again, yeah, Denver again. If I never go east of Denver again, it'll be too soon, honey, it'll be too soon. Chicago to blew me down and it laid me low. Hidey, 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 ho. But if I never go east of Denver again, Denver again, yeah, Denver again. If I never go east of Denver again, it'll be too soon, honey, it'll be too soon. Bangor, Maine, and Alabama. Oh, if I never go east of Denver again, Denver again, yeah, Denver again. If I never go east of Denver again, it'll be too soon. Honey, it'll be too soon.
That's John Stewart, live on Folk Radio. Well, thanks for doing that, because as you say, we've been playing east of Denver. And you know, in that song, just by your being here, you have answered the question, is that song about you? Because obviously it's not, because here
is.
You are.
I know, but I lied.
You're allowed?
Yeah, sure. Poets can lie about anything.
And, you know, what may be true today isn't necessarily
true. Well, at the time I wrote it, it was true. I just don't like the cold. And I thought...
And you thought, oh, I'll come to Boston in the spring. Ha!
Right.
And it's cold. Well, you know, speaking of coming to Boston, you spent time as part of the Kingston Trio.
Yes, I did.
Tonight you're playing at Club Passim.
Right.
Which is the offspring of Club 47. Now, had you played Club 47 in the early days?
No,
but
I never did.
You must have played
heard about it.
In Boston.
Yeah. But I never played there. That was in the trio days.
Yeah.
We played auditoriums, you know. So.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So it had a great legend to it, Club 47.
But tonight you'll be at sort of the singer-songwriter haven.
Yeah.
In Harvard Square.
Passing.
Yeah. And there you'll be playing live solo acoustic just like you are now?
With Dave Batty, my bassist for decades, and my good friend Chuck McDermott, who's living here now, and we used to play together out in Southern California, so he's going to come and sit in and do some songs, so this will be a special treat for me.
Great, kind of a little reunion. That's
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the new album is entitled The Day the River Sang. And are these now, are these mostly new songs that have been created fairly recently?
A couple had been around for a while, like, what's the word? I can't even think of the song now. Run the Ridges was a Kingston Trio song I wrote back in an album called 65. That was, the album was number 15, but I think we did it in 65. But most of them are pretty new. I must say they might have been in the bottom of the basket, but...
So now you've been writing songs
for
a long time.
My first song that I wrote was in Boy Scout camp when I was 9. Camp Cherry Valley in Catalina, a descriptive title for a camp that was exactly that. And I wrote a song called Shrunken Head Boogie. I don't know why.
Well, because 9-year-old boys think shrunken heads are like the coolest thing
that's
ever.
That's right.
And they were very fashionable at the time, those little rubber things that would hang from
you. Well,
your,
that's right.
Yeah.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I played it at the summer camp at one of the campfires, and they went crazy. They went berserk. And I thought, I'm on to something here.
I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah, right.
So now, at this point in your career, when you've had, you know, your career with the Kingston Trio, your solo career, tremendous. Hits, number one hit songs, having written songs that other people performed. You're continuing to write songs, not because you have anything to prove, because you've proven everything there is to prove in the songwriting realm. So what is this motivation that keeps you creating new?
A writer has to write. A writer just has to write. It doesn't matter the reason.
You couldn't just take up pottery at this point.
Oh, no. Pottery, maybe. But no, I mean, it's... we put so much into this new album and worked so hard on it that I'm just starting to feel like I want to write again. But it was been about 4 or 5 months that I just didn't have the inclination to write anything. But that won't last, you know. You've got the itch, you've got to
thrill of
it.
The new, huh?
Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like a good song that you know is a good song when you start writing it. You can't wait to get it finished.
Well, how about another John Stewart song, since we're talking about songs?
Okay. What about that? This is a song that I wrote with my wife, Buffy. And she's a poet, and she writes very flowery poetry for her girlfriends, you know. And then when the tornado, not the tornado, the hurricane hit New Orleans, she said, "Oh, I never got to see New Orleans." So I said, "There's a song there, Buffy. You ought to write that." And she did. And the lyrics turned out to be really good, and I wrote the melody to it, and this is it. I never got to see New Orleans. Hear her mournful sound. hear the singing through the doorways. The tapping on the ground, dancing feet on Bourbon Street, the jazz, the blues, the beat. But I never got to see New Orleans or feel the Delta heat. Got to see New Orleans, the parade on Easy Street. Yeah, when Mardi Gras swinging to the Dixieland retreat. Voodoo Alley, sweet king cake, confetti rain, for heaven's sakes. I never got to see New Orleans or feel the Delta heat. The water may be rising, yeah, but Orleans is still alive. Forever she will sing to me the lullabies I used to be. Will I ever see New Orleans and hear those melodies? I never got to see New Orleans, ride the river to the sea, hear the muse of Louisiana, sing her heart to me. Fats in Louis and Dixieland, she is the river, she is the land. Will I ever see New Orleans or hold her in my hand?
Folk Radio WUMB, New Orleans, that's a new song from John Stewart with his wife Buffy, having offered the lyrics on the album The Day the River Sang. And here we are, live in the studio with John Stewart. Well, you know, you better go. It's still there. And looking good. New Orleans.
Oh. I thought you wanted me to leave the studio.
No, I think you better take Buffy to New Orleans.
I'm going to.
It's 84 today in New Orleans.
Is it really? Well, there you go. And the North Quarter, the French Quarter, was virtually unhurt. So all that Mardi Gras landscape is still there.
And for the most part, you don't have to stand in line to get a table at the Court of the Three Sisters now. So,
well, let's go.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, it's such a lovely and poignant song, and it has such detail in the lyric.
Yeah.
So she knows what she wants to see.
Yeah. And was able to put it down,
yeah,
in rhyme, you know.
With a wistful melody to go with it.
Yeah. The melody worked fine.
Yeah, sure does. Well, many songs tonight. We only have time for two more today, but you'll get a whole evening of music with John Stewart and a couple of his friends joining him at Club Passim tonight.
Yeah.
And, of course, a whole collection of songs on The Day the River Sang, thanks, too, to the good people at Appleseed Records, who made sure we had it in hand.
Good for them.
As soon as it was available. Now, as you talked about putting so much into the songs on this album, and you were mentioning earlier sort of the thrill of starting a song and knowing a good one.
Yeah.
Now, with your experience in writing songs, you have an indication of a song that's really great if someone you respect chooses to sing it or you know, borrow it for their own repertoire.
That's right.
But as an artist yourself, what's the process like of sort of understanding what really is a good song? Is there anything more to it than just your gut? Or you know, how do you say, no, you know, I've created that, but it's not up to my own standards?
I used to write those all the time, every day. I could write five songs, and they were mostly terrible. And now I never get that far. If it doesn't feel like really a good song, I don't pursue it. And life is a lot easier after not having these files.
If you're not struggling trying to make something out of
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
Oh, you heard that one.
Yes, no more doing that.
No.
Because it's not worth the energy, huh?
Not worth the energy. No, and it dissipates the energy. In ultimately, you know, and many of the best songs just wrote themselves. It's funny how that works out. They just start coming and you just get out of the way and let them come.
And do you find do you feel that you're a keen observer of other people's behavior and scenes? Are you the guy in the airport making up a story about the lady and her child in the seat across from you? Or
I used to do that.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. It was just, I had been there, you know, and it had been sort of a folk staple that you just go to the airport and write about somebody in the next chair. But I don't know what to say other than what I write about now is more made out of coal cloth and a piece of this and a piece of that and a little smidgen of this and that, all strung together, you know.
When you've had enough experiences in the world, the material is sort of in the cabinet already, huh?
Kind of. Mm. And I, you know, it's so easy and such a cliche, and no insult to other singer-songwriters, but to write a really sad song, I don't really want to do that anymore. There's enough of those, you know.
Well, you've always been kind of an upbeat guy, you know.
You think?
well known for your big grin and all the, you know, you go back all the years over the publicity photos, there's John with that big sunny grin.
Yeah.
Is that because you come from California?
No, it's pretend. If you knew the real truth.
Well, we won't go there right now. How about we go to another song?
Yeah, this song is...
And if it's a sad one, that's okay.
It's not a sad
song,
but it's a song that I wrote in 10 minutes, and it just came. Sitting on the couch in the living room. Had the TV on, because it's great to have the TV on when you want to write songs. Because TV's just dumb enough to hold your attention, but it won't interfere with your thought process, you know. So this is a song called Jasmine. That highway again, and oh, here I go, and oh, here comes I'll find you, my friend, with roses in canyons and night blooming jasmine still grow. And oh, here come those songs once again, And oh, here I go. And oh, here comes that longing, my friend, with roses and canyons and night blooming jasmine still grow. And a long time ago I found you, and so I told you, and oh, here I go. And oh, here come those sidewalks again. And oh, here I go. And oh, here come those long walks again, with roses and canyons and night blooming jasmine still grows. And oh, here come those highways again. And oh, here I go. And oh, here comes, I'll find you, my friend, with roses and canyons and night blooming jasmine, with roses and canyons and night blooming jasmine still grow. Folk
Radio WUMB, John Stewart, live in the studio with a song from his newest album, The Day the River Sang, on Appleseed Records.
Yes.
Now, there's something about that song. I mean, this is what you were saying before. You know when it's a good one. Immediately, we're pulled into that scene. My mind goes back to spending a night at my sister's house in San Diego, in fact.
Uh-huh.
She had a jasmine bush.
Yeah, and that great aroma.
It kept me up. The aroma was so intense,
yes.
It woke me in the night. And
now,
and there you go. It comes back to you.
There's a town called Sierra Madre in Southern California where I recorded a lot of the album. And there was jasmine all around the place. And the same, I couldn't sleep. It was so pungent. It's so romantic, the smell. And I started writing it. And I knew I was onto something when the line fell out of roses and canyons and night blooming jasmine. I said, oh, right, an inner rhyme there with that. And then it was off, you know. Then there was no stopping.
And then there were highways leading to it. And
all the whole
and that
songs
whole idea of
and sidewalks.
Returning. And
yeah.
Great, great stuff.
Thanks.
So much fun. And I'm so glad that you were able to come by. This is, of course, on your way to Harvard Square and
that's right.
Club Passim tonight. And there's much more to be had on The Day the River Sang. And we've got time for one more song.
I'm going to do this song that a lot of people know that don't know I wrote it.
Or they know you and your songwriting, but they don't connect the name of the songwriter of this song
with me.
You. But
yeah.
This is the same guy.
Same guy. Same song.
And it really needs no introduction. Here's John Stewart for one more song on Folk Radio.
If I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings, 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise and I rub the sleep out of my eyes. The shaving razor's old and it stings. The cheer of Sleepy Jean, for oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? You once thought of me as a white knight on his steed, but now you know how funky I can be, and our good times start and end without a dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer up, Sleepy Jean, for oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Oh, sing it in, cheer up, Sleepy Jean, for oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Oh,
that's John Stewart, live at noon, his very own Daydream Believer. Thank you so much for singing
Thanks
that song and all
in.
Of them for us.
Oh, my joy.
And I hope we can lure you back.
Oh, anytime.
Great.
I'm easy.
That's nice to know.